Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm bringing hassle back.
Yeah. Willie D-Mace, 125-1063 the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. You know that music. It means Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, who's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, the liquor store redefined. Timmy, how you doing?
Boys, how are you guys?
You know, we're good. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We're here at Bridgestone Arena as it's dried out, so we're actually able to have a hockey game tonight, which is pretty cool. But
I want to hear this. Take us back. You know, dad, NFL player, two brothers end up playing in the NFL. I'm wondering about the Thanksgiving Day mornings as kids in the Hasselbeck house. The Thanksgiving Day football game. What was that like?
Hey, so here's the deal. Up there, there are some really long-running traditions of, like, you play your rival on Thanksgiving morning. So
okay.
10:15 a.m., you play, like, your biggest rival. Like, the team that, in some of these, like, matchups, like, they go back 100 years. So, interestingly enough, and probably, you know, applicable with this Thursday being, you know, state championship games here in Tennessee, high school football up there, so you will play a playoff game, like this past weekend, playoff game, right? Then they preserved the matchups. So you will then go play your Thanksgiving rival on Thanksgiving because they preserved it. And then you could conceivably, the week after, so after that, into December, you go in this round two of the postseason.
Wow. That's big time.
You will play a you know, quote-unquote meaningless game, if you will, in terms of the postseason, in between weeks one and two of the playoffs in Massachusetts because they didn't want to, like, let go of that matchup. You know, that like the history of, you know, whatever, two, you know, neighboring towns playing against each other.
Wow. What about just the backyard when you guys were kids?
Well, did your dad ever play a Thanksgiving game?
It's a great question. I don't remember if he ever played a Thanksgiving game. But, like, you know, for us, and maybe I've said this to you guys before, Matthew and I, and then Rich and Andy Olivastro, or were the guys' names, and actually Rich Olivastro down here in Nashville now, we would play two-on-two in the front yard football. And, you know, we'd do the whole stuff, like argue over, you know, who got to be Lawrence Taylor and who was, you know, Phil Sims, I guess, right? But, like, we would do that. And I'm telling you, so those two guys ended up going and playing quarterback in college. Matthew and I obviously did as well. And I mean it. I think that we had so many battles in the front yard, Thanksgiving and then all throughout the year, where I think it helped us become – like, I think it prepared us a little bit just because it's just what we were always doing. You know, like time on task, if you will. Now, granted, it gets a lot different than the front yard stuff, but, oh, yeah, major, major, major battle. So how about you guys? Any injuries for you guys?
I remember
Willie ran the Boulevard Bolt in 32 minutes, which was amazing.
Not quite that fast, but I did have a decent time in the Bolt. But when I was a kid, I remember one controversy. We used to go up to New England. I had my cousins that we always used to go visit, and they lived in Sudbury. So you're familiar with Sudbury, yep. Tim. So they had a great New England scene, leaves changing, you know, beautiful setting. My Uncle Rich, it was the two older cousins against my Uncle Rich and the two younger, my brother and his younger brother. So it was the two little guys and the uncle against the two older boys. We had a controversial play when I had the Nerf ball, and it was, I thought it was an incomplete pass. The ball flew out of my hand. It clearly was a fumble, but I was not going to admit that that was good. So I argued big time with my Uncle Rich, and he was not having it. So, it was
so your arm wasn't going forward?
It wasn't going. It was not going forward. I lost the ball. He reenacted it.
Tuck rule was not.
Yeah, and the aunts and uncles watching, they definitely ruled in favor of Uncle Rich. So the little guys got the ball. It was a key turnover. And they pulled the upset. So I was very – I'd never lived it down.
Well, hey, yeah, well, listen, it's hysterical. You talk about playing with a Nerf ball. Like, I guess some history for us. We would, like, you know, once we kind of were like, yeah, we're not playing with a Nerf ball anymore. Like, we wanted to play with, like, a regulation NFL-sized football. So what do? Like, you go into the attic or the basement and you find a football. So sure enough, you know, we got these, like, painted game balls, you know, like touchdown reception, NFC championship game. Like, dude, that just turned into, like, the game ball, you know, for front yard football. And, you know, my dad never got mad at us for it. But, like, yeah, that's what we did. And then kind of in, you know, the today's world, and you guys have maybe seen this story, you know, my brother played in that Beastquake game out in Seattle. And basically, Marshawn Lynch has that crazy long run where, you know, he dives into the end zone and, you know, backwards after, you know, the stands are going crazy and everything. Well, he kept the ball, right? Well, he brings it over the sideline, but then he wants to end the game using that ball. And so when they go to kneel down at the end of that football game, they're using that ball, the Beastquake, you know, run football. Well, Marshawn takes off after the game. Matthew, because he takes a knee, holds on to that football. Well, that ends up being Matthew's last game in Seattle. So he leaves the field with his kids. There's a great shot with his son Henry on his shoulder and his daughter Mallory is with him. Well, Mallory has the football. Like, they bring that football home. So, like, this Beastquake football that everyone is looking for, like, that has since been used it with Matthew's kids playing front yard football.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
What a story. Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So when you look at the Titans against the Bengals from this past Sunday, you know, we broke it down yesterday, Tim, that I didn't think Titans necessarily played bad. You know, I thought Ryan Tannehill had a good game. It just the Bengals were a little bit better. But the Bengals specifically, how good is that team, especially when you add Ja'Marr Chase back to the mix? You get Joe Mixon back, even though I think Pirine did a fine job running the ball. But where do you think the Bengals are at this point in the season?
Yeah, I think they're a really dangerous team. And you mentioned Pirine, 17 carries for under 60 yards. Now, so look, that's under 3.5 yards per carry. So it's not like they were getting gashed in the run game, but I think that there was an element of, and I think Pirine ran this way, like there was an element of toughness that I don't think you could watch that game this past weekend and not say, well, wait a second. So no Joe Mixon, no Ja'Marr Chase, and they just came in here. They called, you know, they called nearly 20 runs for their running backs. And kind of played a physical brand of football offensively. And then they hold Derrick Henry, you know, to under 40 yards rushing. Wait a second. Like, what do we think about that football team now, right? Because I, and maybe you guys did as well, like, I kind of viewed them as a finesse team in a way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just because they like to get in empty. They, you know, create matchups with three talented wide receivers. And, like, that's just kind of how I viewed them. And they definitely changed my opinion. Now, look, their path is hard, you know, for the final stretch of this season. You know, look at the next, you know, I guess call it 2 months. And it's not an easy stretch of games for them. But I feel like I learned something about Cincinnati with how they came in and played against a physical Titans team.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, discussing the Titans' past game and their upcoming game with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Tim, looking at this Titans team, I think they've gotten better from a passing standpoint over the last three games. And I know some of it probably has to do, a lot of it has to do with now everybody being healthy. Treylon Burks back, and he's shown that big play potential that we thought he had. Chigakonkwo is getting more confidence in that offense and catching passes. And I think Ryan's getting more confident. He's become more reliable for Ryan as well. And then Hilliard is coming out the backfield, and even Austin Hooper is starting to pick up his game. Do you see anything within their passing game that has changed schematically? Because watching the game, I think there was one play in the game that I loved, and I discussed it with Chase. It was a screen pass to Chigakonkwo. But it wasn't just a screen pass. It was the misdirection. It was something that the Titans hadn't done before, and hopefully they can keep that going. Do you see that potentially going even further as the Titans move along in the season?
Yeah, listen, I think you mentioned the screen game in general. Think about it. You're mentioning the Okonkwo kind of like throwback screen off of action, which, look, if you have an offensive line that's, maybe struggling a little bit in pass protection at times, like, that's a good way to deal with it. Or if you feel like you're facing, certain run pressures to slow down Derrick Henry, like early down screen game, misdirection, throwback tight end could be great. Then think about the big play, honestly the biggest passing play of the game, which was the screen to Derrick Henry, that obviously, Treylon Burks, recovered the fumble for the score. Like, so I do think, like, you can really help the passing game in general with the screen game, and if you can do that with some of the play-action screen game, misdirection screen game, to go along with the hard play-action kind of deep over concepts, which are things that I think Ryan does really well, that I think that is just a natural fit to kind of marry along with your run game. Yeah, look, that is definitely a very good recipe. And I think, look, they scored 16 points. They didn't win the football game. But I do think this is like 2 weeks in a row where the receivers look like they're playing better. They're on the same page, maybe a little bit more with Ryan. He, looks a little bit more comfortable. I mean, I got a little nervous for him when, I think he came out after, a series had ended, and it looked like, maybe it aggravated his ankle a little bit. But I think he probably came out of the game okay. That's important for them. So, I do think that I think there are elements. Like I said to you guys before, like, look for the building blocks, look for the improvement, look for that type of stuff. And I think that, there probably have been, some elements of that you can identify.
He is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll have more with Tim coming up next. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, William Donick, Derek Mason. Max Herz is in our camera shot right now, just hanging out, just waving to the people. That's fine. Tim Hasselbeck, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, the liquor store redefined. Tim from ESPN. We continue with him.
Now, Tim, we had a discussion yesterday, and it was...
We have those every day.
Yeah, right? We have those every day. But I'm saying in regards to, or pertaining to, Downing, and if it was a distraction to this team this past week versus Cincinnati Bengals. I came from the stance of I don't believe it was because, athletes and coaches, we do a really good job. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people in professions that they need to be on when they're at work. They compartmentalize things very well. We do it as athletes. We compartmentalize things very well. I was told in Baltimore, listen, there's 52 guys in here, and there's 52 problems. So when you walk through that door, there's 50-some suitcases. Set yours right next to that player's and walk in the building because we're all here to do a job, and we can't let anything affect the job that we're doing, and the job is to go out there and win. Do you sort of see it that way, Tim, especially in this situation with Downey?
I do, and I think for a couple of reasons. Is one, I think the thing that becomes more of a distraction in a locker room is if it's like, and this may sound terrible, but like say a coach were to say something publicly about a player, or you know, hey, you're in a contract dispute, and you know, I'm your teammate, and I say yeah, I think he should be here, like, you know, and get like, and I get into like your matters that way. Like, those are the things that I feel like actually really become distractions in locker rooms. Like, when it's kind of involving, you know, player to player type stuff, I think when it's something that's more of an individual issue, right? So, like in this case, you know, Todd Downing's, you know, situation driving home, you know, when the plane returns home, like that's an individual, you know, issue from the standpoint of like, it doesn't necessarily, it wasn't, you know, he wasn't being critical of someone there. And so with that, it's kind of like, I think it obviously gets everybody's attention because of the severity of it. But I do think with it being, you know, on a Thursday, and then, you know, once everyone comes back in, Mike Vrabel addresses it publicly, and then at that point, you know, you get into the routine of the week, and hey, you're just trying to beat your opponent. You know, I don't think people end up thinking about that type of stuff. And so, in some ways, like you think about the Cleveland Browns, like they're going to have a new starting quarterback this week. Everyone is aware of what has gone on with Deshaun Watson. You know, I don't think that anybody, you know, in that Browns team, you know, is, you know, probably feels differently than any of us feel about the Deshaun Watson situation. But they then are still going to go and do their job because, you know, what Deshaun Watson, you know, had that situation really is not something that, you know, has impacted them. So I just think that, listen, right or wrong, like that's how I think locker rooms, teammates, I think that's how people approach it. I just do. And, look, in some scenarios, it can be seen as a very good thing because locker rooms are so forgiving. But like in other scenarios, it can be seen as a bad thing because I think it can come across as not acknowledging the significance or severity of, you know, what somebody has done or going through.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking NFL football. So, Tim, we were crunching the numbers, and Mike Vrabel got asked about this yesterday. The last 75 carries for Derrick Henry, he's averaging just under 2.8 yards per carry. That's 3.5 games of carries here. What would your discussions be like? I'm looking at Football Outsiders. A lot of people look at different analytic sites, but actually the Titans offense, according to these numbers, are more efficient, higher ranked as a passing offense than their running offense, which would be surprising for a lot of people. So what would your discussions be like about what to do about it right now? I mean, how much do you need to evolve your attack, or is it stay with it, we'll break through, we believe in Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think you do that because, I mean, you go back 3 weeks and it was like, yep, like or maybe 2 weeks, like, he was leaning on people, and it wasn't – was it the Green Bay game? I think it was the Green Bay game. Like, in the first half, I think that's 17 carries, and it was – I think he was, like, under 3 yards per carry in the
first half.
Yeah,
he ended up with 28 carries for 87 yards in that game. So it was hard-fought yards.
But you know something? Like, that – right, like, that game, it was – like, that's okay. And, you know, clearly that – that, you know, there's a really long sustained drive in the first half that had a lot to do with it. But I thought that formula, like if you can do that against Kansas City, you have a chance. If you can do that against Buffalo, you have a chance. So I don't think you get, I don't know that it makes sense to get bent out of shape about the yards per carry thing when, you know, you've seen, you know, the patience to continue to call runs. Look, I would use that same thing for Cincinnati. I mean, here's the deal with Cincinnati. Look, they win last week. And Piron had 17 carries for under 16 yards. Like, that's not a great average, under 3.5 yards per carry. But it was like the situational runs that,
yes,
like, yep, there
effective.
Was a there was an inside the 10-yard line touchdown run. There was, you know, a lot of like, hey, it's third and two, we're running it. It's second and two, we're running it for a first down. And I think that, you know, New England did a lot of that, you know, at one point in time. I think that's the more important thing. I really do. And I think that in terms of, hey, stick with Derrick Henry, I think ultimately you do end up, and it doesn't happen for everybody, but after a while, tackling a 250-pound-plus back gets tiresome for some secondary players.
The Titans have the Eagles this week. The Eagles have been featured in a lot of night games, a Sunday night, a Monday night, so they've really been in the spotlight, and it's allowed us to all sort of watch what they're doing offensively. I want to get your thoughts, Tim, on Jalen Hurts and just how far he's come. Derek mentioned this yesterday in the MVP conversation, and I would never have thought that a year and a half ago, but he has really come on. The way he just backs defenses off, if you let your guard down, and even design runs where he's just running free, he's got a chance to get 1,000 yards rushing as well as being an efficient passer.
The runs on pass plays are a backbreaker, and they you saw it the other night. I mean, Sunday night. Like, they can be a backbreaker to you. The other aspect of it is their design run game with the quarterback is really, really good as well. So, I've done a few breakdowns on them this year. They will run basically, it's triple option with their zone run game where, you know, they stretch the field. And so what I mean by that, I mean, it literally is like dive, keep, pitch. But the way they get to it, you know, it doesn't look like one of the academies out of the wishbone or the wing tee. Like, it is out of spread looks. So you've got to defend the whole field that way. And we've talked about this before, too. And on the edge, you know, you've got, you know, A.J. Brown, who's the number one. You've got Devontae Smith, who's, you know, can be a number one. And so you deal with those guys. So I just think that there's so much that you have to defend with them. And then the biggest area of growth clearly has been just accuracy in the passing game. I think he's always made good decisions, but I think accuracy in the passing game has changed. But now what's happened is when you play a quarterback that runs the football, I think a lot of times, especially if you defend, you know, quote-unquote, like the option game, which I do think you have to defend with him, you a lot of times get forced to play man coverage because not man coverage with two high safeties, man coverage with one high safety because you want to get a safety involved in the run game to account for the quarterback. Well, when you do that, you now are playing man coverage with a single high safety. And listen, talk to Derek about this. Man coverage with a single high safety, look, that's one-on-ones now. Like, that is one-on-one for a receiver and a defensive back. And we just talked about having Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So, like, it is a pick-your-poison right now against them. And I think the thing that he's done such a great job of is making decisions in all of those looks. So whether it's, you know, quote-unquote option game, whether it's been quarterback run game, am I giving it or keeping it? And then in the passing game, one-on-one opportunities, which make it easier for the quarterback when you get that.
Tim, do you think he's leading the MVP race right now, Jalen Hurts?
I do. Okay. Look, they have one loss. He's made, you know, incredible decisions. And, you know, they're not doing it, like, in spite of him. They're doing it around him with how they're doing it. So, and I think you can look at any of these other quarterbacks in bad games that they've had. Look, Mahomes had a game where, you know, he hasn't passed the ball great, and same thing with Josh Allen. So, yeah, I think he's the front runner right now.
Real quick, Tim, watching the Colts and the Steelers last night, and just a hypothetical, because I saw somebody say this on Twitter. Do you think if the Colts could go back, Chris Ballard could go back and do it all over again, when Andrew Luck retired, you know, they had Jacoby Brissett for a year. I think we can all agree he's not a – you know, he's not a top-tier starter, but he's a good stopgap. You know, he's a great backup, I think. If they had just stuck with him rather than go through this musical chairs of aged-out veteran quarterbacks and then Carson Wentz, throw him in there too, and drafted a replacement for Andrew Luck, would that have been the better course for them?
Yeah, I think the challenge ended up being that, you know, Jacoby got hurt. You know, he had a knee injury that and so his health was a bit of an issue. You know, I think that experience there probably has made him more ready for the opportunity they had in Cleveland. So I don't know that you would have gotten that right away. And look, I think the Phillip Rivers situation, I mean, I would argue that it worked. Now, you don't win a Super Bowl, but I think that that was a good match and it made sense. So I think hindsight on that with Rivers and how that worked out, you know, it's probably a little bit unfair. But, you know, so, and I also don't think that you would be getting like this version of Jacoby Brissett. So I think that ends up, you know, kind of being the trick that you're dealing with. And then you have to think about like, okay, well, where are you drafting? Because you did all right with Rivers, right? So where are you drafting and what quarterback are you getting? So, I mean, look, could they have, you know, kind of whatever, did what they did, and then before you know it, you end up with Zach Wilson? Like, would that have helped? Like, I don't think so. I'm not going to fault Ballard, you know, for that. I just, look, everyone's looking for a quarterback. I mean, look, the Titans could have said, hey, look, this didn't work, and so we're going to, you know, after Mariota, we're going to draft a quarterback. Well, then you wouldn't have Tannehill, and honestly, like, they've enjoyed a lot of success with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. Like, everyone's Super Bowl yet, I get it, but there are a lot of teams that would love the level of play that Ryan Tannehill's given them.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, if you want to write down a wacky prediction that I have, Brady to the Jets next year. Write that down.
I think he's done. So. I mean, he's 45. Like, I thought you were going to start, like, another prediction of, like, you know, he's back touring schools in Nashville. Remember that one?
Yeah. Yep, he's going to NBA.
Or Innsworth. He's, you
yeah,
know, he's
exactly.
Gonna, he's going to
He's staying with Tim right while he's here.
I mean, you know what I'm going to do? Teammates and I are going to go out onto, you know, the Hillwood High School football field. We're going to get someone to video it, and we're going to be like, Derek Mason's making a comeback.
Please do. Tim Hasselbeck.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Tim Hasselbeck
quest
to
for
Derek
the Hall
Mason.
Of Fame, man. Just put a few more stats on him, especially since, you know, we lost A.J. Brown, the best receiver in Titans history. You know?
Please do that.
Derek's going to start looking like Uncle Drew out there.
Hey, just make sure your arm is warm, Tim. Make sure your arm is warm.
Tim, thanks for the time as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right. See you, fellas.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Great stuff with Tim Hasselbeck. You know what else is great? Superbook Sports. Because when it comes to sports, it's all happening right now. Football, basketball, hockey, and the World Cup coming up in just a few minutes. Team USA will play Iran.
USA.
There's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Titans on the road, +5.5 right now on Superbook Sports against Philadelphia this weekend. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. D-Mace, presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Hey, be sure to join us for Silly Underdog Picks. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. We're here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators, Ducks will play tonight in this venue. It's reverse retro night, so that will be cool. It's also racing night. You know I like that, as the NASCAR awards are here this week. I'll have some of that flavor for you as the week goes on. But Titans and Eagles coming up this week. I know we do ask D-Mace on Fridays, but yes. I thought this was an interesting question from Ron. And he even acknowledges, I know you guys are not in the segment, Ask D-Mace, but I wanted to settle an argument with my brother and his friends. Does the scheme make the player, or does the player make the scheme?
I think it could work both ways. I think there are some schemes out there that are more geared toward, you know, just a wide open type of game. Say, for instance, you know, you look at, and I'm taking it back to college, you look at UT and their receivers. Well, that scheme makes those receivers, put those receivers in a position to succeed. And only thing they got to do is catch the football. If you look at how they run their routes and how open the field is, I mean, it's just like pitch and throw a lot of times. In the NFL, there are moments where, you know, that you have a scheme and you bring in players and it enhances the scheme. But then you have situations where, you know, you can have a receiver and you have this scheme that they're in, this wide open scheme, movement and everything else. And you take that person out of the scheme and that person becomes an average receiver or below average receiver. I've seen a lot of that throughout the NFL in my days where, you know, where you take a guy, he's been catching 100 balls or 80, 90 balls, and then you put him in another system, and his production dropped tremendously. So I've seen it both happen. That's why, you know, when I look at the great receivers, it's can this guy play in any scheme that you put him in, whether it's a run-based scheme or a wide-open pass scheme? And if he can do both, then, you know, regardless of what scheme you put him in, this guy's a player. But there are some schemes that guys are just not, they're not going to be productive like me. I think Cooper Kupp is a tremendous receiver in the Rams system. Yep. Tremendous. I mean, great. But if you take him out of that scheme and put him in a Titan scheme, he's not that receiver anymore. I'm not saying his numbers, he's not going to catch 70, 80 balls. He probably would, but he's not going to catch 120 or 140 balls. Because the scheme affords me a bunch of catches.
Yeah. Do you think to that point that that's been a part of the adjustment for Robert Woods? Granted, he's also coming off a torn ACL, but just the difference in the scheme?
Absolutely. I guarantee you he would probably tell you, like, listen, from a passing standpoint, we did things a lot different with the Rams than we're doing here. It seems like I'm on the line of scrimmage. I'm flexed out wide all the time.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch the Rams, you watch Cooper Kupp, he's never really flexed out by himself. Everything is in the slot. He's off the line. He's moving. Other guys are pushing so they can open up the holes for him, and he hooks inside the holes or run, you know, dig routes inside those voided spaces. I'm sure that's what Robert Woods, he experienced that as well. Then he gets here, that system's nowhere near like the Rams system. So now you got to adjust. And the adjustment a lot of times is players typically become who they really are.
Right.
In base systems.
Coming up next, Willie has some numbers. He threw some things out at Tim that I thought was interesting when it comes to the Titans offense. We'll get into that. Take your texts and calls as well. Great question, Ron. 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville, right here on Broadway with 1025-1063, the game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Titans taking on the Eagles coming up this weekend. And, Willie, I know you threw this out at Tim a little bit, but you have some numbers, and I think it's interesting when it comes to how the Titans run the ball and pass the ball.
Yes. The Titans right now, according to Football Outsiders, with the updated numbers after the last game last night, is in the books. So the Titans rank 19th overall in offense, and we're talking about efficiency. And I again preface this by saying this is just Football Outsiders. You can probably look different sites for different things, but to me, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're just looking at yards. Don't just look at yards. Look at efficiency. And there's different ways to mark that. But it is interesting. I saw some other people who follow these things on Twitter that pay attention to the Titans sort of notating the same thing. The Titans now rank 13th in passing efficiency, value over average. So the way Football Outsiders does it, zero would be average. So they are 17.6% above average in passing efficiency. Now, you might sit there, okay, what does that really mean? Yes, you can shoot holes in that, but that is what it is, 13th. They are 18th in rushing, and they are actually graded at 4.7% below average running the ball. Who's number one? The Eagles. They are 14% above average running the ball, and if you did a head-to-head comparison, Miles Sanders versus Derrick Henry, you'd take Derrick Henry every time, right? But the way that the scheme is working, the way that they are running the ball with Hurts, Sanders, and the combination, Boston Scott, the guys they bring in there, they are getting it done efficiently running the ball. The Titans are not running the ball very efficiently. So what do you do? I just think it's a classic dilemma, and it further illustrates the point, right? When you go this long, because 3.5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you would not. They were running the ball better than this, much more efficiently. But as we've pointed out, the last 75 carries for Derrick Henry, 2.8 yards. That's just not very efficient, right? Now, but what does that do? Is it? It's bringing the defense up. You can look at. I thought Brian Baldinger had a great thing on Twitter that he put out there, about 2 minutes of clips where he showed one play after the next, where the Bengals were aggressively bringing the linebackers up, the defensive backs up, and just blowing up the plays. It was the scheme a little bit. It was also the Titans blockers did not pick up these guys the way that they have been in some past games, and Derrick Henry had nothing to really run at. So all of that is true, but 75 carries, it's not every one of them just because the defense is cheating up or the hole isn't there. I do think it's worth kind of looking and assessing, what do you do about this? How do you get more efficient? Is running it less going to make it more efficient? Do you have to run it more? I just think that you can't just ignore these numbers and say we're going to be bad, we're going to be doing it back way. You have to at least look at it, I think.
You know you're going to get people fired up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But people are going to go, oh, you're just writing Derrick Henry off. You think he's all washed up.
Right. We got a lot of that yesterday, and I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying that you can't ignore the fact that they have passed the ball a little bit more efficiently than they've run the ball, especially the last 3 weeks.
Two things can happen at the same time. Two things can take place at the same time with this. Derrick Henry can, be losing a step, a half a step, but yet and still he can still be second in the National Football League in rushing. I think that's where he's at, second or third.
He's second.
Second. So we're only bringing this to light. It's the only reason we're bringing it to light is because of things that we are individually seeing. And the numbers are sort of matching up to what we're seeing out on the field. People don't want to believe that Derrick Henry is slowing down just a tad bit. I think people expected, for it to be this climb and then this sudden fall off. That's when we know Derrick Henry is done. I don't think it's going to be that way with Derrick Henry. I think it will be a slow decline, and they'll start using him a little bit less to preserve him longer for the season, as long as he's here with the Tennessee Titans. I think he's going to retire a Titan. If he doesn't, then that's a mistake by them. But I just look at moments in games this year where Derrick Henry, prior to the injury, and I'm not saying the injury has anything to do with this, and I said this yesterday, Chase. I don't think the injuries have anything to do with it. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm only using the injury as a timeline. Before the injury, there was that burst. There was that running away from people. There was that stiff arm. There was that, you're not tackling me alone if you're 100 pounds or 180 or 90 pounds. Damn, you ain't tackling me by yourself if you're 210 pounds. It's going to take somebody else. That was prior to the injury. Since then, we've seen more guys single-handedly take Derrick Henry down. We've seen that burst, that long speed that he had, it has diminished a little. Now guys are starting to catch him. trip him up, knock him down before he gets to the end zone. Does that mean that he's still not a productive back? No, it doesn't. He's still a productive back. I believe he's still the best runner in the National Football League. He's the hardest guy to tackle. But more guys are tackling him one-on-one. You haven't seen that vintage stiff arm this year. Right. You just haven't seen it consistently.
Yeah. And another thing I thought about when Tim answered the question, I threw those numbers at Tim, higher efficiency rating as a passing offense than a running offense. I do think in the two things can be true category that you're just mentioning, Derek, Tim pointed out the Green Bay game, 28 carries for 87 yards. That was not efficient, but was it effective? Yeah, I think that was Tim's argument. That set up the 333 yards passing because you're cheating up, you're creating the space behind that first wall of defense when you got eight in the box and they're all running up in there. And I thought it was true to an extent on Sunday, right? They didn't maybe exploit it the way they wanted to, but they had pretty good passing numbers. So that's what you have to ask yourself is it may be inefficient running, but is it setting up efficient passing? That's got to be true to an extent, right? Otherwise, you would never run it that many times. So Derrick Henry still is setting up a lot of things in the passing game just by his presence alone. But still, I look at those numbers. I got to have a little more. So you have to look at it. What is the best way to attack things now with this Derrick Henry today in the now, right? Well, you can't, if you're assuming that he's the same as he was a couple of Decembers ago when he just tore up the NFL, I don't know if we can expect that this year. Maybe it happens. That'd be great. But I think I got to look at it and say, what's the best way to utilize 22?
Look, I still think he's got 300 to 400 yards left in him for this season, which is going
to
put him in.
Well,
the
he gets
13th.
To play. He gets to play the Texans one more time. Yeah, so that's probably 150 right there.
No, that might be 300 right there.
So, I mean, look, but I think you're starting to see the evolution of the offense. And the one thing that's good about this is you're getting guys healthy. Treylon Burks is healthy, and he's looking like he fits the role, and he's making big plays now. The Todd Downing, Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill all trust him. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, you're getting him more involved. Chig Okonkwo, you're getting him more involved. Your boy Austin Hooper is getting more involved and making plays. Now you might get Kyle Phillips back to add to the mix. So I think that's answering the question right there because you're starting to see more than one playmaker emerge, and therefore the offense is allowed to evolve.
Well, they're emerging because now, like you said, now guys are healthy and – the one guy that needed to get healthy was Treylon Burks.
Yep.
And now he's, from what we've seen, he's completely ready to go and healthy. And we should expect more of what we've seen the last two games from him. That's what we should expect from here on out. What he does is he opens it up for Robert Woods. Now Robert Woods can go back to that true number two. He opens it up for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He opens it up for more of a – I think he's going to eventually help Derrick Henry and make those guys back up just a little bit because now they have a bona fide pass catcher on his team. So now that they're healthy, more importantly, now that Treylon Burks is back, now you're going to start seeing guys play their roles. The roles they were brought in here to play. Now that Chig Okonkwo is getting more comfortable with what he's doing, you're going to see guys' role more defined now. This is your role. This is what you do. Everybody's back. Now everybody goes to their natural role.
Yeah.
You're not playing above a role that you had to. Robert Woods is not a number one, but he had to play that role.
Yeah.
He's not good in that role.
Coming up next, we'll shift gears. We'll talk to Mitch Light of The Athletic, get his thoughts on college football championship weekend coming up this weekend. That's all next here on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.